All right. Looking at the just the what is the hope? Hashtag I'm staying. What's the difference we're making? God calls us to greater things. We're not citizens of the world. We're citizens in heaven. And anchoring that hope in Him. And so we want to grow that hope. And so what I did is I've done a little bit of a journey, and tonight I'm preaching a little bit more topically, but looking at what grows our hope. And it was incredible to see that as you read the scriptures, there's three things that always link together. There are so many verses, and that is that hope links with love and faith. And tonight I want to look at what is love, what is faith, and what is that hope, and then how do they work together? Why is it so important that these three things are evident in a Christian's life? Because when we have our love and we have our faith, it grows the hope we have. Because the hope is based in a future event, a future time, holding on to Him. So I want to look through at the definitions of these hope. Because what has happened is the world has watered down some of those definitions. And I'll give you some examples. Different definitions here that sometimes get watered down. I found these definitions. Abdicate means to give up hope of ever having a flat stomach. Adult, a person has stopped growing at both ends and now is growing in the middle. Antique, an item your grandparents bought, your parents got rid of it, and you're buying it back again. Avoidable, what a bullfighter tries to do. Balderdash, a rapid receding hairline. Bathroom, a room used by the entire family, believed by all except mom to be self-cleaning. Experience, the name men give to their mistakes. Feedback, the inevitable result that a baby doesn't appreciate. When the baby doesn't appreciate the strained carrots. Feedback. Hindsight, one experiences from changing too many diapers. Independent, how we want our children to be as long as they do everything we say. Ow, the first word spoken by children with older siblings. Polygon, a dead parrot. Show off, a child who is more talented than yours. Top bunk, where you should never put a child wearing a Superman pajamas. Vegetarian, an old Indian word for bad hunter. So definitions have been muddled up and watered down. And we want to look tonight, what are some of the biblical definitions for love, for faith and hope? And my desire is that it will challenge us more to grow in the hope in Christ that we should have. So what are some of these verses that link love, faith and hope together? Well, Galatians 5 verses 5 to 6 is this: for through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The righteousness for which we hope, if you see that, the only thing that counts is faith, and faith expressing itself through love. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and your labor of love and steadfastness in hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So it describes that a bit more, the work of faith, the labor of love, and this is from the ESV, and steadfastness in hope. That is based, what? In our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians verse 13, verse 13. Some of you will be getting flashbacks of wedding services. And now the three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And there are so many more texts where we see that hope, faith, and love are interlinked. So what are these? Well, firstly, let's look at faith. And I've titled the first point, Faith Makes It Possible. what makes it possible? What's it? It's Christian living. How do we live out our faith? How do we live out our life as Christians? Well, faith makes it possible, first of all. What does the world say about faith? Having faith in the world is very different. In fact, the word faith is so often used and watered down in the world that it turns around and says, oh, are you a person of faith? We sometimes say that when we don't want to bring up controversy. Oh, that's just a person of faith. But when we turn around and say, I am a person of faith in Jesus Christ, we see a different reaction. We say, I have faith in Manchester United actually doing something in the next few seasons. Okay? You notice I said next few seasons. All right. We use this word so interchangeably. But this faith is something more. It's putting something solid. It's going and saying, God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you for so much more. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says this, now faith is confident in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance in not what we see. See, faith is the knowledge that God is in absolute control of all circumstances of life and that is working in everything all the time. We see Romans 8 verse 28 saying that God is at work and doing a good work. That's there. So the faith, the knowledge that God is at work. So our faith, and I use the example of the chair so often, each and every single one of you guys had a step of faith tonight. You had a faith step that you were going to sit on that chair and it was going to hold your weight, even when you had extra Nandos. Okay? The guys that are sitting in the older chairs had more faith than the guys that are sitting in the newer chairs. All right? Lack of faith. Yeah. But what happens is you didn't know that that chair was really going to hold you up. Past experiences you've seen, some of you were waiting for me to sit down and went, okay, it held Dan's weight, so I definitely will hold mine. And some of you have seen bases and you've seen it happen. You've got previous knowledge of history of it, of sitting down in those chairs. Some of you are sitting in that very chair. And you sat down and you knew it held up in the past. Now we have lots, an incredible amount of evidence to prove that Christ Jesus is Lord. We see thousands and thousands of prophecies over years and years coming true. We see so much historical content. And we can read about it and we can know this. So the faith here isn't absence of knowledge, isn't absence of evidence, but it still calls for a trust and a faith. I've still not got to just know about it. I've got to believe in it. Faith is calling an action. See, faith is work. Faith is at work in our salvation. God, I trust in what you say. God, I trust in your word. When you say you are the way, the truth, and the light. When you turn around and say that no man comes to the Father except through me. I trust in you. God, I'm placing my life in your hands. So faith is at work in our salvation. But it's also at work in our daily life. God, I want to work for your will. I want to be obedient for you. We were speaking this morning about how do I know the will of God, and I turned around and said that knowing the will of God isn't always convenient. God, when there's going to be sacrifice, when it's still going tough, I'm still going to have faith that you know what's best. And I want to seek out your will. Faith takes work. It's action. James 2 verse 17 says this, in the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action is dead. Now, James is not saying that it's about a gospel of Jesus plus. He's not contradicting Paul here. What he's saying is that the fruits of our faith should be displayed. And without that fruit, without seeing this, one could question one's faith. That's what he's saying. And so fruit, when we know Christ and we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can't help but bear fruit. And that has got action in our daily lives. So we step out in faith. Well, how's your faith this evening? Turns around in the ESV, 1 Thessalonians, it says, your work of faith. How are we displaying our faith tonight? What are we doing? Are we trusting God? Do we need to get back to a basis and saying, God, I need to know you more. I need to put my trust back in you. I need to remember that you are good. That you are able, that you are in control. You know what is right and what is best. God, I want to lean to you. I want to sacrifice all that I am and all that I have for you. God, I want to step out in faith for you. Imagine the impact we could have as a church if we had more faith. God, who is able. So often we find different things catch us up. And we start to go, God, I trust you, but... dot, dot, dot. What could happen as a church in this community if we who are called by his name had more faith in him for his glory? I'm not talking about a neighbor and claim it here. I'm talking about what impact could we have in this community for him and his kingdom. That's what I'm talking about. Having a faith for him. Secondly, what is hope? Well, hope makes it worthwhile. Hope makes it worthwhile. The word hope is watered down in today's society. I'm going to grab a lotto ticket and hope the rand stays as strong as the dollar and I win something. I'm going to hope that this person remembered to bring things home. Sarah hopes for that quite often, and that hope lets her down. I forget. But we place our hope in events, and we worry about them and just hope that they turn out for the best. See, sometimes the definitions of hope here is the feeling that what is wanted can be had on the events that will turn out for the best. Or a particular instance of this feeling is the hope of winning. Well, the next one that grounds for this feeling is a particular instance where there is little or no hope of his recovery. So we've got no hope in this team actually winning. We've got no hope in this, and it just becomes a negative basis to it. But what are the biblical grounds for hope? Well, hope, from a biblical perspective, is a confident expression which rests upon the promises of God. In other words, hope is believing that God's word is true and can be believed. It's a certainty. It's a deeper thing than going, I hope Bafana Bafana wins the World Cup. It's a certainty, absolute certainty. I've seen this happen before. I've seen this, as you've seen other people sit on the chairs. As you've seen the chairs, and remember the chairs holding up your weight in the past. It's this absolute certainty. God, you are faithful to your word. Why? Because I've seen this through the cross. I've seen this through the promises that you've made. I've seen that you keep your word, so I trust in what yet hasn't come. I trust in your future promises, in what you're going to do. See, faith and hope are very closely linked. But faith is a general basis. It's based on past events. It's based on present events, and it is based on future. But the hope, and the biblical hope here, is of a future certainty. One that we hope and know that Christ is going to return again. And we cling on that to certainty. And that those of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that one day we will be in heaven with him for eternity. We hold on to that. It's an incredible hope that we should cling to. It's not a watered down, weak hope that we experience in the world. Romans 8 verse 25 says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we will wait with it for patience. Titus 2 verse 13, wait for our blessed hope. Notice how he says blessed hope of the appearing of the glory of the great God, Savior, Jesus Christ. So we hope and know that God is going to return. This should have such an incredible impact for us because it means that my time of suffering now is so much smaller than the significance of the hope I'm holding to. That certain hope. As Christians, what are we hoping for? Who are we placing our hope in? The SVN in 1 Titus goes, the steadfastness. That steadfastness, that anchoring, that no matter what happens, I'm clinging to this solid ground, to this rock of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm clinging to Him no matter what goes on. My hope is placed in Him. So as a church, we are called to display that hope, to get ready to have an answer, to give an answer to the hope that we have. To a world that seems so uncertain, we are to display our certainty we have in Jesus Christ, that hope we have. It should impact our daily walk. It should impact the way we view things, the way we respond to things in this world. We should be so much more. So we have a faith that makes it possible. We have a hope that makes it worthwhile. And thirdly, we have a love that drives it. We have a love that drives it. Now the world's definitions of love is very wide. From sex to using it as a word for stronger like. I like KFC. I love Nando's. Don't we use that? One of our radio stations in the morning, as guests phone them, they go, I love you. I'm like, you don't even know that person. You just love them because they're listening to your show and you get paid because they're listening to your show. We use that word so just open to so many things. I love my dog and I love my wife. I love my wife so much more in a different love. But we just use that word around. This is so much more. See, the biblical expression here is love is more than a thought or a feeling. But love is true action. Love is when you do what's best for another, no matter whatever it costs you. And one of the best definitions I've got love was defined simply as by knowing and experiencing Christ. Who is love? See, love is an action. It's got to be involved in something. John 15 verse 13 says this, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. We see love on the cross. We see love when what Christ has done for us, action. Now our world has watered this word love down. As we journey with people that go through divorce, I hear sometimes this line, I just simply fell out of love with that person. Nonsense. I can't say that in the counseling, but I can say it here. Absolute nonsense. See, we choose not to love. It's an action thing. There's many times where we do not feel like loving. Sometimes Sarah and I will have an argument and she'll tell me I'm wrong and I am wrong, but I do not want to say I'm wrong. And as you cross and you're like, argh! And we divide up the chores around the house. And one of the jobs I do is I sweep the house in the mornings. And I'll be grumbling. And as I'm serving, as I'm doing this action, my heart changes towards her. And that anger that may have over this event, I've chosen to love her no matter what. We choose to fall out of love. We're called to love, and love is an action more than just an expression. I love ice cream. It's so much deeper than that. And we've seen that through the cross. See, love must be seen. It must be displayed. The early church grew significantly through persecution, through immense suffering. Why? Because what God was doing amongst them, because the love they displayed for one another, and the love that they displayed to those who sometimes were deemed lovable. Where did orphanages come from? Hospices come from? It actually came from the early church. When leprosy hit towns and the community fled, who remained behind with loved ones? Who served them, cared for them, and loved them? The church. Ministry is messy. And we need to get messy again. We need to have love in action. Getting involved and loving others. 1 John 4 verse 20 says, whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. Whoever does not love his brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God from whom they have not seen. We need to love. 1 Corinthians again, as we go back there, starts from verse 1 by saying this, if I speak in tongues of men or angels, but I have not love, am I not a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal? If I have the gift of the prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast, but do not have love, I have gained nothing. For love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy and it does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking and is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs, and love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be silent. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, that part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away such childhood behind me. For now we see that only reflections in a mirror, we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, that I shall know in full, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So love drives it. It needs to be seen out and displayed. We notice here that Paul highlights that love is above the others. Why is that? Well, I simply think, based in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So how do we pull these together? Well, if we respond with love, our love will grow faith, and that faith is anchored then in our hope. So response, well, how do I mean with this? Well, I have an incredible heart for Gemma. She was at a matric dance last night, and she's still at church. Okay, she was here serving on Friday night, even though she had a matric dance last night. Okay. Gemma has an incredible passion and heart for people, and a caring heart. Okay, you're sitting next to Kirsty. I used Kirsty as a sermon illustration last week, so you have to. Okay, and so what happens is Gemma has an incredible heart for people, an incredible passion, and she's got incredible love for God. I've loved her questions. I've seen times where she's wrestled and she doesn't know. I've seen where she's persevered. I've seen where she's had a heart for God in prayer. An incredible heart for her. And so I would say one would respond with a love for Gemma in that. Now, I have seen so much in Gemma, and I believe so much in Gemma. Gemma's word is her word. That's one thing you'll know. Gemma is faithful to commitment. She is planned and organized, loves things ahead of time, and that's why she didn't like working with me. Loves things ahead of time, loves to plan because she wants to be faithful to the things she does. I have incredible faith that Gemma will do incredibly well. Why? Because I have a love that wants to see her do well. And I have knowledge of what she has done and seen based in that. And I have incredible hope in the fact that she's going to make an impact for God where she goes, even in Stellenbosch. In that. When we have a love for God, and when we get our love for God right, saying, God, I want to love you with all my heart for who you are. When we start to work on that first, it gets our faith back. Why? Because not only do we love God, but we see His faithfulness. We see who God is, and we are reminded of His love. We want to trust God because we know Him. We believe in Him, even in uncertainty. We can have faith in Him. Why? Because we love Him, and He has loved us. And He first loved us. And so we respond to Him in faith, saying, God, I want to trust You. I want to follow Your word. I want to be obedient to You. And when we start to do that, we place our hope not in our kingdom or in the things we're going to achieve in this world. We place our hope in something greater, in the glory of Christ. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians adds all these three things up, saying that in Christ. It means to be rooted in Christ, rooted in His love, in who He is. It's to be rooted in a faith in Him, not in other things, and to be rooted in a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Incredible things will happen. So if you want to grow your hope, first work on your love. Do we love the Lord our God with all our hearts? And if we do, how are we loving others? Because that should be the fruit from such love. So let's work on our love first. Faith, what is God calling you to? Maybe He's calling you to step out the boat. Maybe He's challenging you to bigger things. And you're using the but, dot, dot, dot. Be reminded of who He is. Hope, who are we placing our hope in? Are we still attempting to anchor it in what we want to be or become? Or is our future hope actually based in the fact of His return? That Christ is going to be glorified. Mark Bollinger writes this, and he says, when faith produces good works, there will be good works of love. When hope looks to the future perfections, it will be experienced in Christ. It causes us to live our lives of love with endurance right now. Love is greater than faith and hopes, because without love being produced through faith and hope, we don't actually have a true biblical version of these two virtues. I'll read that again. When faith produces good works, there will be good works of love. When hope looks to the future perfections we experience in Christ, it will call us to live our lives with love, with endurance right now. Love is greater than faith and hope, because without love being produced through faith and hope, we don't actually have the true and biblical version of these two virtues. So work on our love. How's your faith? How's your hope? But mostly, how is your love tonight? How's your love for the Lord? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You. We thank You for what You've done. We thank You that You first loved us. Thank You that You died on the cross, and may we never ever forget that. And Lord, may we be so reminded of Your love that it's infectious in our life. That we would infect the rest of people that we come past every single day. That it would impact our faith in You. That we would be living for You and having a faith in You, not in other things. And that we'd be clinging to You, even when things seem uncertain. Guide us and help us in this, we pray in Your name. Amen.